Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just sang a prayer. That prayer was, "Change my heart, O God, may I be like you." Lord, that's a dangerous, dangerous prayer to pray. But Lord, help us to be those who take risks. Help us to be those who want to be more like Jesus every day. And Lord, I pray that as we're gathered together this morning, that the Spirit of God would change us from the inside out. That the Word of God, as it's preached, as it comes before us, Lord, it would enter our minds and enter our hearts and change our lives. And so, Father, we pray that You would do what only You can do, that Your Spirit would take Your words and change us from the inside out and bless us this day in Your house. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome, welcome. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice, aren't we? We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. It's wonderful to see you here today. It's always good to look out and see friendly faces and to just be thankful that we have another day to join together to worship the Lord. If you're watching online, we welcome you also to Crosslanes Bible Church. Well, today I will be speaking on a very important subject. Not that what we talk about each and every week isn't important, but this is, I think, a timely issue that we just want to bring before you today from the Word of God. As you know, if you have been a part of this ministry for a while or you've been watching online, as you know that I am planning to retire. And the plan is for this summer to retire. In fact, the date that's been set with the deacon board that we have tentatively set up right now is that Sunday, August 11th, would be my last Sunday as your pastor, last Sunday preaching here. And then after that, there will be a new man that will be coming to shepherd this wonderful flock and to feed the Word of God to you week after week. This transition, I think, is exciting, but it's also very serious. It's a serious business at hand. And although I am not personally involved with the search team or deciding upon your next pastor, what I've tried to do, what I'm wanting to do, is help prepare our church, Crosslanes Bible Church, the best we can be prepared to welcome a new pastor to Crosslanes Bible Church. Last fall, I preached a message from 1 Timothy chapter 3, characteristics of a biblical pastor. And from time to time, I'm going to go to different parts of the Word of God to just help us join together in preparation for this transition. And so today, we find ourselves in Romans chapter 15. If you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15 was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. And as you know, Paul was a chief leader in the first century church. Paul was an apostle. Paul was a missionary. Paul was a church planter. And when he planted those churches, he would remain as their pastor for a brief period of time, then give the church to somebody else, and he would go start a new church. But what Paul desired to see from the bottom of his heart was this. He desired to see God do a mighty work in the church at Rome and in all the churches he ministered to. And Paul realized this. He realized that the ministry God had called him to do was limited. And he understood that the ministry that God had called him to do was well beyond his own abilities, well beyond his skills and his gifts and his knowledge and his personality and his man-made abilities. These were not enough for the church. You see, the blessings of God upon the church at Rome, as Paul writes in this passage, and upon churches like ours, is on something else entirely than that spiritual leader's abilities. Follow as I read Romans chapter 15, verses 30 through 31. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. My message today is entitled Praying for Your New Pastor. Beginning now to pray for the next pastor of Cross Lanes Bible Church. And I want to go to this passage and I want to answer two questions for you this morning from the Word of God. And the first question is this: why? Why should you pray for your next pastor? You say, Pastor, I don't even know. We don't even know who that's going to be. We don't know his name. We don't know who that person will be. Why are you saying right now we need to be praying for the next pastor of Cross Lanes Bible Church? Well, first of all, because it is a matter of duty. It is a matter of duty. Verse 30 says, now I beg you, brethren. That's how Paul begins this passage. Now I beg you, brethren. And what is he begging the brethren to do? The end of that verse says that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. It is a matter of duty to be praying for your spiritual leader. When it says in the first part of this verse, I beg you, brethren, the word beg is emphatic. It means to urge, to exhort, to appeal, to plead. Paul is not saying this flippantly. Paul is pleading with them. He is pleading with them to do some things in this passage. And when he begs, he is saying this. He's saying, listen up, church. Listen up. This is important. I need your full attention because the subject at hand is serious. It's exciting, but it's serious. And it is a matter of priority. It's a matter of priority for the church to pray for its spiritual leaders, especially its pastor. And that's why Paul says, I beg you, brethren, that you pray with me, for me. That is what Paul is saying in this first verse. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this, I exhort, first of all, that's a matter of priority, not in number, but in priority. I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And then he goes on in verse 2 and says, especially for personal or for public leaders, secular leaders, and for sacred leaders. For kings and all in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceful life. And he goes on to talk about praying for all types of authority, including sacred or spiritual leaders. And so the first thing we have to understand today is that it is your duty, church. It is your duty to pray for your next pastor. It is your duty. You say, well, I don't like that. I don't like duty. Duty's a good word. I am thankful that the United States of America is defended by soldiers, by those in the Army and Navy and Marines and Air Force that take their duty seriously. And it is our duty to pray for our next pastor. I beg you, brethren. I beg you, brethren. It is a matter of duty. But also, it is honoring to Christ. By praying for your next pastor, you are honoring the Lord. Now, I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is literally saying, out of regard or reverence for Christ. I am begging you out of respect, out of reverence for Jesus Christ, that you do this. You see, our desire to glorify Christ should drive us to our knees in prayer for spiritual leaders, in prayer for your new pastor when he comes. You see, the ultimate reason to pray for your next pastor is not so that he will be an eloquent pulpiteer. It is not so he will be a superior shepherd or an excellent administrator. No, the ultimate reason we hit our knees right now and we pray for God to bring that man to us in so doing this, in praying for your next pastor, you are ultimately bringing honor and glory to God. Because that's the purpose of all of our lives. That's the purpose of my life, of your life, to ultimately bring all the praise and honor and glory to Jesus. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's not even really about your next pastor. It's about the glory of God through that man that He will bring to Cross Lanes Bible Church. And as I said a moment ago, let's be honest. You don't know His name. You can't see His face. But the fact of the matter is, God knows who He is. God knows His name, and a sovereign God is already orchestrating all things together for His glory and the good of this church. And so when we pray for this unknown person, we are ultimately bringing glory to God through our prayers. It is honoring to Christ when we pray for Him. And then it is a work of the Spirit. It is a work of the Spirit. Why pray? Because it's a matter of duty. Why pray for your next pastor? Because it's honoring to Christ. And then because it's a work of the Spirit. Verse 30. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit. Through the love of the Spirit. This literally means we are to pray by or out of our love and dependence upon the Holy Spirit. You see, prayer isn't some ritual. Prayer isn't something we memorize a bunch of words and just, you know, regurgitate it out. Prayer is entering in to a special bond with the Spirit of God to pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus. And so this is the only place in the entire New Testament that the phrase is used this specific way. And through the love of the Spirit. This verse is not talking about His love for us. It's talking about our deep love and devotion and dependence upon the Holy Spirit in praying for one another. When we love the Holy Spirit of God, along with God the Father and God the Son, when we love the sweet Holy Spirit, our desire will be to see Him do a supernatural work in and through those who lead us, in and through His church, in and through one another. And the key to God's blessing upon a church is not the natural abilities of the leadership, but the power of the Holy Spirit at work in that leadership and in that church. And so we pray. We pray in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. We pray fully depending upon the Holy Spirit to do a great work in the next pastor's life and through his ministry to us as a church. And so, that's why pray. Why pray? The second question is this: how? How should you pray for your next pastor? The first way in which we are to pray is for a spirit of unity. The end of verse 30, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. Paul is saying we've got to be united in this prayer. Paul is asking for prayer for himself, but he's saying we've got to be united together and you pray for me as I pray for me. And pray that God does a great work through your pastor. You see, the ministry of prayer in the church involves two important entities. According to this verse, it involves the flock and the pastor, both joining together in prayer for the work of God. Church unity is so important. It's really so very important, and yet it is so very fragile. It's fragile in any church. You see, it's a wonderful gift from God when a church is united, but it involves much, much prayer. To maintain that unity of the Spirit, to strive together, that striving is not against, but with each other. It's joining together as one. And folks, I would simply say this. In this whole process of finding a new pastor, if you want unity at Cross Lanes Bible Church, if you want this church to be as one, begin to pray now if you're not already praying. Begin to pray now. Pray for oneness in the process. Pray for oneness, for unity among the pastoral search team. As they interview people, as they look over resumes, as they talk together, as they pray together, pray for oneness, for unity on that team. Pray for oneness and unity upon the deacon board, because the process here at Cross Lanes Bible Church is the search team takes, when they come up with somebody they think might be the next pastor, they take it to the deacons, and the deacons discuss that. And then pray for unity among the church membership, because then it comes to the church. And the church will be asking questions. The church is you. The church isn't this building. It's you who are here in flesh and blood. And pray for unity among the search team, among the deacons, upon this membership, this congregation. And then pray for oneness upon the arrival of a new pastor. That he will be welcomed with open arms. That the church will just be excited to have a new beginning, to have a new leader, a new shepherd that can guide the church forward from here. Pray about the process. Pray over the arrival of the pastor. There won't be division, but that everybody will be united in support as the church of God moves forward. And so how to pray. When you pray, say, Lord, unify us. Help us in this whole process to be unified. Help us as the time comes when Pastor Dave leaves and the new pastor comes, that we'll be united as a church, be excited for the future. And then also pray for protection and connection. Verse 31, Paul said, be praying for me that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe. I'll pause right there. Pray for protection for your new pastor as a shepherd. Pray for his protection. He says, I want to be delivered. Pray that I'll be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe. He was speaking about the Judaizers. He was speaking about those Jews who had rejected the gospel. They hated Paul so much that they wanted to see him killed. And Paul had already endured prison and beatings and stonings. But he wouldn't back down. And understand this. Pastors are on the front lines. Pastors are in the crosshairs of the devil. I mean, constantly. And your new pastor is going to be in the crosshairs. Your new pastor is going to be on the front lines. Let's understand this. There's a difference between a battleship and a cruise ship. And pastors are captains of battleships, not cruise ships. You go on a cruise, you go on a cruise ship, that's for pleasure. That's for, you know, having a good time. That's for joy. That's not the purpose of a battleship. A battleship is going to war. And believers are in spiritual warfare every single day. And I want you to know, your new pastor will be on the front lines of that. So he needs your prayers for protection protection. Pray even now that when God brings your new pastor to you, he will be protected from the onslaught of Satan. That he will be protected by the Holy Spirit of God. Protection and connection. Paul says this, and that my service, verse 31, for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. Here's what Paul's desire was as he ministered, as he pastored. It was not for personal success. It was not for the applause of men, for accolades. It wasn't for numbers. It wasn't for fame. But he did desire this one thing. To be a blessing. To be a blessing to those he ministered to. To bless the flock. He wanted to connect. He wanted to be able to teach the Word of God and preach the Word of God and people respond to that preaching and teaching. He wanted to be able to connect with those he ministered to. And your new pastor will more than likely be coming from somewhere out there. He will not be one of us, okay? And so pray that when he comes, there could be a quick connection with the flock. You see, attacks from Paul came not only from the Judaizers and outsiders, but there were attacks that came upon Paul from the churches he was trying to help, trying to shepherd. Pray that that doesn't happen at Cross Lanes Bible Church. Someone has written this, to dwell above with saints we love, that will be grace and glory. But to live below with saints we know, well, that's another story. And sometimes, like all siblings do, sometimes brothers and sisters in Christ squabble and they are not on the same page. And what you need to do then when that happens is you get on the same page. You forgive one another. You ask forgiveness. You love one another. You don't attack and you don't leave. You stay together. And you join together. And your new pastor is going to need that. He's going to know that there's a church that's behind him. And pray that he will be protected. And that he will be connected. And then pray for joy and encouragement. Verse 32, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God. Folks, your next pastor is going to carry some heavy, heavy burdens. Many times those burdens are unknown to the congregation. But there are two things he is desperately going to need. And the first is joy. It's joy. And let me tell you this. One of the greatest battles that every pastor will fight is the battle for personal joy. You say, aren't pastors supposed to be the happiest people on earth? Man, what a life. You only work one day a week on Sundays. You're around great people like me. Aren't pastors supposed to just be so happy all the time? You know, I think most pastors want to be happy all the time. They want to have that joy down in my heart. But as I already said, pastors face battles. And sometimes that greatest battle is for personal joy because there's always something going on. There's always an issue to deal with. Sometimes those come from the world around us. Sometimes it's the church itself. Sometimes in a situation like ours with a Christian school, it comes through parents in the Christian school, staff. It comes from different ways and from different people. There are people issues. There are financial issues. There are personal issues. There are hard decisions that pastors have to deal with. And then let me just say this from experience. I don't care how long you pastor, people's criticisms always sting. They always sting. I think I've got a tougher hide than I once did, but they still sting. And when these things happen, that joy is zapped from us. I'm not just talking about pastor. For all of us, these things are true. But for a pastor to maintain a joyful spirit, it's not going to happen apart from your prayers for him. Apart from every day saying, bless our pastor today. Bless him as he's new with us, as we're just getting to know him, and encourage his heart. Give him the joy of the Lord in his life today. Because I believe this, the more joyful a leader, the more effective he can be. And so pray for his joy. And then, I just said this, but pray for his encouragement. It says in the end of verse 32, and may be refreshed together with you. Refreshed. Refreshed means to be renewed in body, soul, and spirit. It literally means this. In this context, refresh means to lie down and rest beside somebody else. To lie down and rest beside somebody else. Because it says, I want to be refreshed together with you. So the idea is this. I want to be refreshed together with you by your prayers, by your words of encouragement. And your new pastor is going to need this. He's going to need a few people around him and his wife who will have a ministry of encouragement. Encouragement literally means, we were talking about this Wednesday night, encouragement literally means to breathe courage into somebody. Discouragement is to draw it out. Encouragement means to breathe it in. And we all need people to encourage us when we get discouraged, to breathe that courage back into us, to continue to do what we are called to do by Almighty God. He's going to need a few people around him and his wife who have the ministry of encouragement, not personal agendas, not political motives, but they're simply there to help refresh and rejuvenate his soul. Encouragement. Pray right now that your next pastor will have the joy of the Lord as he ministers, and that when those times come of criticisms and burdens that he can barely even think about, that during those times that he will be refreshed in his spirit, and that there will be people who will be there to encourage his heart and to lift him up. So pray for joy and encouragement, and finally, for peace and presence. Verse 33, now the God of peace. Now the God of peace. Wonderful thing about this passage is it's always there focusing on the Lord. The love of Jesus, the love of the Holy Spirit, the God of peace. The God of peace. Folks, during this time of transition, this church can have the greatest peace it's ever had. This church can have the most encouragement it's ever had by our God, through His Spirit, by our love for Jesus. At the end of this brief passage, he says, now the God of peace, a church which prays for its pastor, which prays for its future pastor, which prays for its spiritual leaders, will enjoy peace. But the Bible says sometimes will surpass all understanding. Remember what Paul said, I beg you. What we need to do right now is to agonize together on our knees for this process and for God to bring sovereignly to us the next pastor. Don't gripe and criticize in the process. Don't gripe and criticize your new pastor, because he's not going to be Superman. He's not going to be super pastor. He's flesh and blood like you are, like I am. And so spend time in prayer right now. Don't criticize. Don't gripe. I wish the pulpit committee would do this, or the, no, pray. Pray for your deacons. Pray for the pulpit committee. Pray for one another. agonize in prayer. Now the God of peace, He's the one that brings peace in the process and will bring peace to the congregation for a new pastor. And then His presence. Now the God of peace, what? Be with you all. Aren't you glad that the Lord has said He'll never leave us or forsake us? Are you thankful for that? He hasn't left us or forsaken this church in 70 plus years, and He ain't going to do it now. He is with us. A church that prays for its new pastor will experience the presence of God in that process. Don't do church in the arm of the flesh, especially not now. Don't do church in the arm of the flesh. Seek the presence and the power of Almighty God. And so, how do we close this service? What's the best way to conclude a sermon like this? Well, today it's not going to be with a gripping story or illustration. It's not going to be by reviewing the outline one more time. I want to conclude today by simply obeying the Bible and joining together in prayer for our next pastor. No, we don't know who that'll be at this moment. No, we don't even know his name, but God does. Let me ask you this. Who knows the name of the next pastor? Who knows it? Do that one more time. It didn't sound real convincing. Who knows the name of the next pastor of Cross Lanes Bible Church? God does. God does. So we don't need to fear. We don't need to panic, but we do need to pray. Because God does. And so we're going to close right now in prayer. I'm going to ask two men who are very involved in this process to come and lead us in prayer. First is going to be Mike Cumberledge. I appreciate Mike. He's the chairman of our search committee. And it's not easy. It's not an easy task. God has the right man, I believe, for this job here. He's also a deacon, and Mike's going to come. He's going to come right up here. Do we need a microphone? Yeah, Dick, if you could bring that up. Mike's going to lead us in prayer. Then Dick Corbin's going to come, and he's going to pray. Dick is the chairman of our deacon board this year, and he's also a member of the search committee. And I know this decision weighs heavily on these two men, but I know they're trusting God, as am I, as of so many of you, that God will, in His time and His way, bring to us His servant. And so let's close by having these men pray. Mike, and then just come, Mike, come right up here in front of me. Thank you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the Word of God. It's quick and it's powerful. Thank you for Pastor and his faithfulness to preach it to us today. Thank you for the encouragement to pray. We do pray. We do pray, as we have for many days, that you would continue to open doors and close doors and lead us to do our search with wisdom and love and unity, which we've tried to be faithful to do. We're thankful for the way you have led, and our timing is not your timing, and our ways aren't your ways. And we're confident that you do know, do have a plan for us. And Lord, we pray first of all that you would cleanse us from our sins and forgive us and help us not to be in the way. And I pray that you would help this congregation to set their minds to pray and to be an encouragement to the pastor when he comes. And to the current pastor, Lord, we thank you for this passage of Scripture that we looked at today, and thank you for the encouragement to keep our goal to lift you up and to be unified in the Spirit and to praise Jesus. Lord, we may want this and we may want that, but most of all, we want to be faithful. We want to be blessed, and we want to have your smile upon us. And so we would pray for a pastor that would come in, a pastor that would first and foremost love you and then loved the people and would just have a vision for the future of Cross Lanes Bible Church. And so for this, we pray this morning, and we'll continue to pray. It's in your name we pray.
And Lord, as we continue in prayer and as we recall what we just heard from the Word of God, the Apostle Paul writing to people, Lord, you do your ministry through people. And the Apostle asked for a number of things from those people and asked for those people. And I pray for the people of Cross Lanes Bible Church, who you are working through in this process. We ask, Lord, for keen insight. Give us, Lord, accurate foresight, and may we know the Spirit of God's directing us. We thank you, Lord, for the work of the Holy Spirit in us and through your Word. And I pray, Lord, that we will lean on you. We thank you, Lord, that you have seen fit to allow this ministry to continue these days, these many years. And we ask, Lord, for your will to be done in the days ahead. We commit, Lord, what has been preached this morning. We pray that our souls will take it in, that our action will practice it. May, Lord, we see the product of our prayers this morning as you direct our steps and bring to this church the man you wish to preach from the pulpit here. We commit these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Dick's going to lead us in a song in just a moment, and I'd like to close with the song. And so he'll lead us, and then we'll be on our way. But as we leave, just a couple reminders. Join us Wednesday night. We are having a great Bible study together. We had just a fun time, good time last Wednesday night. We also have Awana for the children. I'm next Sunday, a couple things. I'm starting a new book series from the book of Galatians. Next Sunday morning, we call it Free Indeed, How God's Grace and Salvation Liberates Us from the Power of Sin in Our Lives. And I'm so thankful for this book. We're going to be starting that next week. And then we're also having a deacon's luncheon at the end of the service next week. I hope everybody will come, be here, our deacons and their wives, put it on for the congregation. Just a good time of fellowship and to know a little bit more about the ministry of our deacons. We had a wonderful offering this past week. Thank you for praying about that and giving. And let's together just pray for Cross Lanes Bible Church and for God to bring to this church His man for the future. All right. Amen. Let's stand together, and Dick, if you'd close us.
You know,